extension of Trump University.
Oh my God! Did you guys see that he wanted to send the USS the USNS Comfort to Arizona?
Yes!
That's a great idea. Sail it right on over there.
But you know what? We gotta tell them. Hey, Trump, honey, we can't send it over there because you're building a wall. That's why we can't.
Goddamn wall. Got in the way again.
You goddamn wall. You goddamn 50 miles of wall, honey. We can't send the ship over Mexico and then just drive it right into Arizona.
When I read that, I was like, I'm sorry. What has he still not bothered to look at a map? Like, they don't have a map of the United States hanging somewhere in the White House that he's glanced at. Like,
no. 98% of the presidents haven't needed one.
That's like there's a globe next to my desk. Is it there? It doesn't actually spin.
The president that needed a fucking map was Washington.
It's just a globe that's stuck.
It's actually a speaker Putin put in.
It's only pointed to the United States.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal who's stuck in Florida, hating her life.
And you're going to be stuck there. We're going to quarantine off Florida.
Mm-hmm. I know. Fuck you. Let's saw it off like you do in the cartoon.
That's where we're putting the wall.
Let's get her out first.
Remember that cartoon? I think it was either Bugs Bunny or Woody Woodpecker where they literally saw fucking Florida off the United States. I am so ready to do that.
I told you guys the minute this started happening and Florida wasn't taking it seriously, I was like, are you guys going to Bugs Bunny me and just fucking sail me off to sea? And I think you guys said no. I would hope that it's still a no. At least get me out of here. And Hannah.
Let's trade absolutely. Florida for statehood for D.C. and Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Done.
Yep.
I'm in.
Done and done.
Oh, fuck.
Done.
Tonight I am drinking 19 Crimes because it's good and I wanted to.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, sassy.
She is pithy tonight.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a...
I found these little cans in the grocery store and they're called ICAN. I got a rosé and a chardonnay. They're really cute, like super cute. And I definitely like bought them for the cuteness. They say that they're from Washington, but then on the back it says produced by Mercer. Oh, just packaged in Modesto. Gotcha. So far I've only drank the rosé and it's really good. It's not too sweet. So I recommend them already. Oh, great for picnic, festivals, whatever.
You can't do.
I recommend this for drinking alone in California.
In your pool. They're perfect for the pool. They're little, long, skinny aluminum cans. Perfect.
There you go.
That is nice.
That sounds ideal.
No glass in the pool.
I am drinking a Wildberry Truly because I can't have a hangover tomorrow because tomorrow's Hamilton Day. And I got to be ready to day drink and watch Hamilton literally all day long from my couch. So I'm having a preparation for that.
Okay. All right.
I have to have
support you. I'm very excited for this.
Yes, we support your decision, girl.
I am ready.
We should do together.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Jean, what are you drinking?
I am still riding the tide of delivered wine. I am now on my third delivery of wine, and I just cracked open. No, this is my third wine delivery since the pandemic opened up this new grand and glorious world to me, and I chose tonight a Chardonnay from California, 2017. It's called The Path, and it is delightful. And for only $8 and pennies a bottle, free shipping, I am living my best quarantine life with wine delivery. Thank you very much.
Nice.
Wow. I don't know if I can follow that up, really.
Yes, of course you can.
So when Gene was here, we went to a brewery and Three Daughters in St. Pete, and we both had the Bimini Twist IPA. And so Gene loved it, and I really enjoyed it as well. So when we did an alcohol delivery, because we were so fucking loaded, it would have been a true crime had we left the house. We decided to get a six-pack of it, and I think she only drank, like, two of them. So I'm drinking the other four. And it's
I'm glad you're enjoying them.
It's seriously so delicious. Yeah, it's citrusy. It's really, really good. I'm not a huge fan of IPAs, I'm going to be really honest. But this one's good because it doesn't leave, like, that really, really hard aftertaste of the hops. So I'm enjoying it. It's a catch-worthy of a rollicking fishtail. Definitely a keeper. You know what?
Every lesbian loves a rollicking fishtail.
You know what? There are more tuna in the sea, as lesbians say. So,
did you say that?
No, but I think we should.
I'm so happy that you still have the actual liquid memories of.
I
our
can't believe she has
trip.
Liquor that hasn't been drank in her house.
Listen, you guys, listen to me. I have not been drinking since Gene left. The other night when we were on Skype together, that was the first time I drank in probably since Gene left, to be completely honest. Wow. I have not been drinking.
Did you get your chair in?
I did. And now I'm, I said, fuck this chip.
She traded it in for a drink.
She ate it. She ate the chip.
Yeah, the chocolate chip. But
well, Aaron, when Aaron picked me up at the airport, our first stop was the liquor store. And we didn't just have a basket. We had a full-on grocery cart.
Yeah.
So
we had a cart at first, and I was like, Gene, we need a cart. And she's like, no, we don't need a cart. And I was like, Gene,
we need a cart.
Like,
can you imagine freaking Frack rolling their shopping cart down the aisle?
Yes, I can.
We filled it. We filled it up. And the saddest part was that didn't even last the 5 days.
That was round one.
The first day we drank that entire bottle of vodka. Oh, I'm sure people remember this because
then you got on the podcast and fell asleep.
Yes. No, I don't think anybody ever heard that podcast. That went into the archives. That one.
We'll have to release it as a bloopers episode.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. I want to hear it.
Oh, my God. It was just like Dempsey and I talking and these two just being wasted.
Oh, I'm so sad I missed that one.
And we would just say random things every now and then.
Aaron would talk and then legitimately fall asleep and just wake up and start talking again.
It was like Weekend at Bernie's.
100%.
Totally was.
Stacy and I were like, what is happening
now?
Gene actually held it together. Gene drank you under the table that night, fool.
She did.
Yeah.
That was an unprecedented experience for me because I went 24 hours without sleep and I went through three different rounds of drinking.
Oh,
we woke up from the podcast and went outside and switched over to beer.
We woke up
because I was like, well, no.
So like, that's does the Olympic team so contact funny. You or do you reach out to them? I don't know how this.
I was like, oh, Aaron's done for the night. Like she's like me. Like she's asleep. They're done. And then, like, 40 minutes after we stopped recording, she's on Marco Polo drinking in her backyard. I was like,
yeah, what? She's sending us Marco Polo's, like, look at this bitch, passed out. I was, like, stuck, because you took a nap during the podcast.
Whatever you gotta do. You know what? Right. I sacrificed me, for the greater good.
and then at 2:45 a.m. she's posting a video of Gail and me dancing to a Grease 2 song. So I mean that was
her best cinematic work to date, I think.
Grease 2 is literally chock full of jams in her defense. God,
it is so good.
It was very exciting to watch them, because Gail had also come home from work and decided to get on our train.
Yeah.
And she got on our level pretty quickly. And
wow. That's impressive.
Well,
how does one get on your level that quickly?
Well, I mean, Gene and I were just sharing beers.
Intravenously.
Yeah. I was like, Gene, let's just share a beer. So we'd share a beer, and then we'd share another beer, and then we'd share another beer, and then we'd share another beer. I'm like, we've only had 8 beers shared. He's like, no, Aaron, that's not how it works. Like,
but when we were at conference 2 years ago, I got a little, I had some beverages at the social, and Chris was like, oh, do you want another one? I was like, oh, I don't know. And she was like, how about a half? And I was like, sure. Or I suggested, I don't know, they just tricked me into having another drink. They were like, don't worry, it's only a half a drink. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yes, that's exactly right. Like, you just have a half.
5 halves later.
Yeah. Aaron and I had 5 halves. We had a lot of halves. after the vodka, after the wine and the podcast, because we downed that whole bottle of wine together during the podcast, and then we moved to beers.
And I had a nap.
We recorded your nap for posterity.
Thank you. You know, it's not very often I get a nap. I'm glad I can look back and see that I actually had one.
It's in the archives.
We're going to bring that up for our best of. Okay, so we actually got some listener questions this week, and I apologize. I think one of these, the one from Claudia, is actually from the week before, but we didn't record. So we're going to start from the beginning. Sheila wrote in and she says, the bounties on U.S. soldiers. Trump is saying he never got the briefing. Is that even possible? What angle do you think Putin was really playing? What do you gals think? First of all, no, it's not possible.
None. Zero.
Zero possibility.
Zero.
Especially since he was told about it, according to his NSA advisor, John Bolton, back in March of 2019. And then it was also in the daily presidential intelligence briefing in February of 2020. Now, I'm not saying Trump can read.
February 27th, which is my birthday, by the way.
Yes. Thanks, Aaron. It's all your fault. If he hadn't been thinking about you.
I know. Trump was like, happy birthday to that bitch.
So it's, I don't even know why he's trying to claim he didn't know about it. It's literally impossible. And if you're going to say that that type of intelligence doesn't reach the president, how fucking embarrassing for you that our intelligence officers don't feel it necessary or trust you enough to brief you with such information.
Right.
Like, what are you even fucking talking about?
Yeah, that would be the latter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what angle do I personally think Putin is playing? I think Putin, it benefits him in every way if the United States collapses upon itself. Yeah, and you don't need to do that with war or nuclear bombs. You can do that with misinformation and
propaganda,
neighbors and friends and family fighting amongst themselves. And that is exactly what he's doing.
He's proved it. Over 3.5 years in, he's been a success.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Because of he's Cult just 45. Like
he's like a ventriloquist. Act, you know, he's just got his hands up Trump's
ass,
whatever, and his hand in his mouth, and he's just, it's disgusting. But there's no way he didn't get that briefing.
Yeah,
he 100% got it.
Well, it's so fucking stupid to say that. It'd be like, I mean, I don't even know what it would be like because it's so goddamn dumb.
But honestly, do they baby certain things like just kid gloves with him? Like, he doesn't need to do this because he'll make the situation way worse.
Well, because they knew about it for a year,
right.
And I think they also understand that he doesn't read.
Doesn't or can't.
All of the above.
All of the above.
But also, he no, may have...
real, though, because did you guys see that thing? It was like... Pete Davidson was on, like, Howard Stern or something, and he was talking about when Donald Trump hosted SNL, and he, like, didn't want to use the cue cards, and he, like, could not read the lines. I mean...
He might not be able to read. That could be very possible, honestly. But also, I think...
explain a lot.
I think... a little bit of it, too, is that, like, okay, so you have this president that is so up Russia's ass. Like, I truly think that maybe, like, yeah, he probably obviously did know. He didn't give a fuck. And that's so much more embarrassing than the truth. And so it's like, I think in the end, we're going to hear all about this from a lot of different sources where they're like, no, we absolutely briefed him on this. This was 100% told to him. And he decided to just say, fuck it, because he does not give a fuck about the United States, States of America.
Here's the truth of it. Being in Putin's favor is more important to him than the minimal amount of soldiers' lives lost on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it carries good favor for Putin to be able to say, look, we can pick off American soldiers. It buys him power in the evil axis that he tries to play on. And it to Trump, that's worth the cost.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it, totally
being in his favor. And that's just the fucking truth of it. You can tell what a ruthless individual he is, and I don't care what anyone else says. That's what I'm convinced of.
Well, he worships dictators. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wants to be to America what Putin is to Russia, right, and what Kim Jong-un is to Korea, which at this point might be Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. We don't know.
I'm not convinced you're wrong.
But, yeah. Right, but he is obsessed with dictators because he wants that absolute power.
Yeah.
Stace, what do you think?
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. To be totally honest, no idea.
I guess we should preface that. We go into these sometimes thinking everybody knows what we're talking about. So New York Times broke a story last week that they had... And I have to give it to, I know the media takes a lot of heat these days, but the New York Times, Washington Post, like a lot of these agencies have gotten very good at having like 3, 4, 5 journalists working on a story so that they can source and fact check. And so it remains unbiased so that they can list these things out as facts as opposed to opinions. So they broke a story stating that they had evidence based on these briefings, because it was leaked from the White House, I believe, that Vladimir Putin put bounties out on, he was willing to pay terrorists, the Taliban, to kill American soldiers. And for every American soldier they kill, he was paying them money. And Trump knew about it.
Oh, come on.
What? Is that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seriously?
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Why aren't more people mad?
What a great question.
That's a wonderful
question. Talk about that.
Like, I haven't even seen this like posted anywhere.
Right. So I don't know why, but I think people are mad about it, but I think we're constantly being bombarded with shit just like raining down on us that it's hard to like kind of sort your way through it. But it's super important because the United States president pretty much said, especially one that stands so firmly on don't burn the American flag or don't kneel, disrespect our troops, and we have the strongest military in the world, and yada, yada, yada. For him to know about this, which, like we said, he knew about it in March of 2019 when the NSA briefed him, and then in the presidential daily briefing in February of this year, he was retold about it because more evidence came to light. And so he's trying to say, no, no one ever told me, which is just absolute...
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, totally.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, he would wipe his ass with the American flag if he thought that it would further his own personal agenda in some way.
He'd wipe his ass with the Constitution.
Absolutely.
I think he probably does.
But you know what? But he doesn't know what the Constitution is, so it like would never make its way into his hands.
Tell him it's on the beaches of Arizona and see how that pans out.
The last.
You got to be careful when they storm the beaches of Arizona.
Because
there is a lot of sand there.
That USS Comfort is just gonna grind its way through Mexico and just go right into Arizona and save the day.
That might be the dumbest shit he's ever said.
Really? There's so many. Like,
not conniving, not manipulative, not whatever. Just straight up dumbest.
Yeah.
It's possibly near the top.
Yeah. Well, I mean, best of.
Oh my God. You could do a best of compilation in just 1 week. Oh, imagine how long it would take to do a 3.5 year compilation. I mean, just this week he said, COVID-19, it's just going to go away pretty soon. It's going to go away.
It's too sad. I don't think I can watch a compilation.
I want to watch it just so I can drink afterward.
If you drank during his entire presidency compilation, you would die of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm well on my way.
Even you too.
Cheers. Clink.
So, Stace, now that you just heard about it, what are your thoughts?
I'm surprised I haven't heard about it, but honestly, if I even said anything about it, I'm sure that I would just get, fake news.
Yes.
So it's probably denial. Right. It's probably, that's a CNN talking point. You know, it's a lot of denial of people saying like that it's just not true. And then how do you argue with those people?
Right.
Well, he's up there saying it's not true, that he was never told about it.
Right.
Exactly. So they believe anything he says. So it's pointless to even argue with those people.
But I guess my point is let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that's true. Say no one ever told Trump about it. Let's go down this road for a second. Let's go down this road for a second. That all of the national intelligence agencies, all of the intelligence agencies in the country found out that there was bounties on American soldiers' heads paid for by Vladimir Putin, and no one told Trump, if that's true, how fucking embarrassing for him. That they do not trust him with that kind of information. Totally. Like, if he's telling the truth, what is wrong with the organization you're running? Like, how does that even happen?
Right.
How does that happen? I have to find out about every goddamn car accident that happens at friggin' whatever time in the morning, and you're going to tell me if there was a bounty out on one of my guys' heads, I wouldn't hear about it? Bitch, please. That is the dumbest line of defense I've ever fucking heard. He would have been better off going with, I knew about it, we're actively looking into it and trying to come to a halt, and I'm putting sanctions in on Russia immediately to, we're cutting off all communication.
Right.
There, done. Hire me.
Right. But
I would
do
vote
that
for you, actually, so I'm doing my writing.
He can't do that because he is so deeply entrenched in Russia, money-wise, that he absolutely cannot come out and start talking tough against Putin. Absolutely, he can't do it. Putin has too much shit on him. I know it. And it all goes back to the fact that he won't release his tax returns.
Oh, I was really thinking you were going to say P-tapes.
Me too.
Well, that too. I mean, well, that's just like a...
He just won't release the P-tapes.
The P-tapes were just the benefit of him being in with a Russian oligarchy.
That's true.
That was just like the cherry on the sundae. But, you know, from a ethical, legal, moral perspective, he's way too fucking deep into Russian mob money to ever say anything bad against Putin.
Yeah.
So our next question comes from Gretchen. She says, I have very mixed emotions about certain statues being taken down. Not so much about Confederate, good riddance, but now they're talking about Mount Rushmore and Teddy Roosevelt. I want to be supportive and I'm trying to check my privilege, but at what point are we going too far? Thanks for all of your analysis. Love you, ladies.
We love you too.
We love you. Thank you for listening to us. We sometimes forget we have listeners.
Yes.
I'm going to let somebody go first, but then I got something to say about Christopher Columbus, but somebody else.
Somebody go first.
I don't know. I get certain things. I think with the Confederate statues, like there's no Confederate statue that's justifiable at this point, especially when you look at the history of when those statues were erected.
Right.
You're not talking about statues that were erected after the war. Like they lost. They weren't running around wearing Confederate uniforms, flying Confederate flags. That was something that happened in the early 1900s.
Right.
And it's just as a way to be racist assholes. So I don't think there's any Confederate statue that you can justifiably say deserves to stay up. So that, I think, is a little different than something like Mount Rushmore, which, you know, it's hard. That's a hard one. But I don't think Mount Rushmore was erected with the purpose of making people feel like second-class citizens, which is exactly what those Confederate monuments were constructed for. So, right. So even though they might, they're not, you know, they're not tied to all great things, at least they weren't constructed with the, like, that sort of mentality.
I think the, and I don't disagree with you, I'm torn on the Mount Rushmore one because it was on Sioux land. Sioux tribal land. So they're saying you erected a monument of people that
murdered
and, and destroyed Native Americans.
Right.
But I agree with you. I don't think that was the intent when they build it to shove it in Natives' faces. I don't believe that that's what they were trying to do at all. So I agree with you on that. But I want to hear everybody else's opinion too.
I have a hard time with the Mount Rushmore thing. And I think that part of it is that, like, yes, I agree. Like, I don't think that was done with that intent. But I 100% think that, like, any sort of Confederate statue or something that for Confederate people that still believe in the Confederacy, that for them to worship, I think should be abolished, should be. But do I think it should be taken down and destroyed? Maybe not. I do agree with, like, I've read a lot of about how maybe it should be put into a museum or something like that. Yes, I don't disagree with that. Like, because it is a part of American history, and does it necessarily mean that we should forget about it? No, but we should learn from it and grow from it. And so maybe all of these Confederate statues that went up that have this deep-rooted symbolism, like, it would be great to be able to one day learn from that. So,
but we had that conversation 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whenever it was that we already had the conversation about tearing down the Confederate statues, and they didn't do it then. So if some of them get vandalized in the process, that's their own damn fault.
You know, that's exactly kind of what I feel like now too. Like, so if you're not going to take it down and then people are going to vandalize it, well, then that's sort of your own fucking fault. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't feel bad about that. Would I feel bad if someone got up there and spray painted, like, a cheesy mustache on Abe Lincoln or Teddy Roosevelt, like on Mount Rushmore? Probably yes, but at the same time, I'd be like, well, I mean, this is the world we are living in now, and there's a part of us that says, like, free speech, free speech, free speech, but then you're going to be pissed off when someone free speeches, quote unquote, a monument. Like, there's you either are okay with it or you're not, and there's got to be some sort of, like, this is the world we've created as a whole, as the United States of America. This is what we have created, and we have made it okay for people to speak out about things, but you can't be mad when people speak out about things in a way you're not okay with. Like, it's just, it is what it is. So I have a lot of emotions about it. Like,
don't you think there's something, like, beautiful and moving about the pictures of those, like, Confederate statues covered in?
Right. What was that picture? Remember, Stacey, I posted that picture on my Instagram story, and it was like these two black girls were standing in front of it, and it was like the all behind it was this monument had been just fucking. Everyone had written things about it and on it with spray paint. And it was one of the most beautiful pictures I had seen. And I was like, while I understand why it could create some sort of, like, some feeling inside their body, like, I understood it, and I appreciated every single thing that was written on it. And it really is. You make a statue. That's a statement. You vandalize that statue. That's a statement. Mm-hmm. Which one deserves to be punished? Neither one.
Well, excellent point, Aaron. And I just had this conversation with my neighbor when we were imbibing a little of the wine. And
because Connecticut doesn't really have social distancing as much as every other fucking state.
That's the waspiest word to use to say you were day drinking and you're...
we totally were. But here's the thing. It's like I'm right outside New Haven, Connecticut. And New Haven, Connecticut and New York City saw the biggest influx of Italian immigrants at the turn of the 20th century. And this past week, I got to watch not Confederate statue raising, but Christopher Columbus statue raising. And New Haven, Connecticut is hugely Italian. And they had a huge Christopher Columbus statue that's been up in the midst of the Italian section, and they took it down this week. And, you know, of course, there was the back and forth. All the people who were outraged that this statue was taken down, all the people that supported it. Hugely Italian population, so they were livid. But like my mother is a first generation American because both of her parents came through Ellis Island from Italy and Sicily. And I said, you know what? We know the truth about Christopher Columbus now. We finally know the truth about him. Don't fucking erect a statue for him, because when you erect a statue, that means this is an honorable person that deserves to be memorialized in forever. And so now that we know the truth about Christopher Columbus, yes, take the fucking statue down. I don't care. As a second generation Italian American, I don't fucking care. Take Christopher Columbus down and put up a statue of two Italian immigrants coming through Ellis Island. Because you could take my grandmother, who came through Ellis Island at 16 years old, and she came to this country for a better life, and two generations later, she's got me. So Italian Americans don't fucking need Christopher Columbus, who was a profiteer, a fucking fortune hunter, who enslaved people, who didn't give a fuck about Italian heritage because he was working for the Spanish monarchy at the time. Don't fucking idolize that guy. Let's idolize the everyday Italian American who came through Ellis Island to help make this country what it is.
Yes.
What do you think, Stace?
I don't know. I feel like I don't have an opinion, because I don't have, there's nothing that I'm mad about that somebody did. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
she doesn't have a dog in this race.
Yeah, pretty much. I like Aaron's idea of taking all the statues and putting them in a museum, because if there's a statue, yeah, it's part of history. If the statue, okay, so like say it's Hitler and he's in the middle of like town square. Is there a plaque that says this is a fucking terrible man, that this is what he did? Or is there a plaque saying all hail this dude for doing great things? Because if there's a plaque saying all the terrible things he did, and somebody can go to this statue and look at him and reflect good or bad, however they feel, and read the plaque and have their feelings about it, cool. But if there's no plaque, I don't know. That seems messed up. If people feel such like strong feelings about it because it's in their town square and they have to walk by it every day, and it's a person that did bad things to their ancestors, then I get feeling some type of way. Take it and put it in a museum then, so that the people that want to learn about these people and go see these statues can go to this museum and still see them and read the plaques and see what they did and form their own opinion, whatever. So the ones that are in public places, I feel like maybe they should be moved, but I don't think that they should all just be destroyed. It's not the person, it's a statue. That's, you know, right. What I mean?
Well, and also I feel like there's that whole thing to be said about this was art. You know what I mean? Like, this was a piece of art that someone made, this statue. So that was their freedom of speech at the time. So to destroy it, in my mind, is just going against that whole
thing. I'm with Jackie's face right now.
Are you?
They were mass produced during the Jim Crow era to stick it to
either
the...
Either way, like, it was still made.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that they were mass produced, like mass produced.
Whatever.
You know what? I wish that I could be in New Orleans right now And I wish that I could help fucking tear down mm-hmm. that statue of Andrew Jackson in Jackson Square, man. That motherfucker does not deserve a statue. He fucking...
I got a picture of it when I was
He marauded and killed percent of the Native American Cherokee population in this country. Fuck Andrew Jackson. And you know what? While you're fucking knocking his statue down, take him off the $20 bill and fucking put Harriet Tubman on there now.
Okay, have you seen that they're selling stamps with Harriet Tubman's face on them that they're exact size as the $20 bill? And so people are getting 20s. And stamping Harriet Tubman's face over Andrew Jackson's on $20 bill.
I fucking love that. Mm-hmm. Fucking get rid of fucking Jackson and put Tubman on the 20, but man.
If there was a plaque in front of Andrew Jackson's statue that said, this dude did A, B, and C, he's a piece of shit, you know, right. And that's the word.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Would you then be okay with it being up so people could go and talk about it and be like, wow, this dude sucks?
In a museum setting, I would be, but not out in the public. That's not how the statues are for reverie. They're for, you know, they evoke certain feelings. Not everybody's right. That's not how that works in for negative things. I don't think you can put statue, like you can't have a statue of Hitler and have that be okay because it has a plaque explaining that he, you know, committed genocide.
But I would totally go see a Donald Trump statue with his big old belly and big ass sticking out and, like, read his plaque and be like, wow, what a piece of shit.
But like, I would love to see it in a museum.
In a museum setting.
Yeah.
So, here's my opinion on it. I personally think the Confederate statues should all be gone. Plaque or no plaque. Only because, or it, you should let the townspeople decide and vote on it because different towns have different cultures and different belief systems. And like, I don't think it's right to have enslaved traitors, people who were human traffickers at the time, being posted up in public squares. I also don't think they all need to go to museums because, like we said, they were mass produced in the early 1900s. I also don't consider it erasing history. I think we have viewed history a certain way for a really long time. And as usual, it's always through the eyes of the winners, which isn't helpful. I think you could still learn a tremendous amount about that time by putting up statues of Harriet Tubman. You could get into the civil rights movement by putting up statues of Ruby Bridges, Maya Angelou. Like there's a lot of important African American figures that deserve statues to be erected, especially God, the fucking Confederacy was around for 5 fucking years. Nickelback has been around longer than that. Like Nickelback. Like are we really?
And we hate Nickelback.
I hate Nickelback. I hate Nickelback so much.
Like
I hate them more than the Confederacy.
And I think a lot of the problem is people aren't fully aware of all of the Black figures of history that shaped the culture and shaped future Black Americans and white Americans as they exist today. And they, I mean, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, like we haven't given credence to African Americans in this country for a long time. And if at this point of all the atrocities that we dealt their ancestors, if they're overwhelmingly saying, take the fucking statues down, take them down. Take them down. And as far as Mount Rushmore, I actually think that instead of removing it, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to the Sioux tribe because what we did to them, again, was fucking atrocious. But I do think intent matters. I think that instead of adding another president, they should put Sitting Bull up there, who was a Sioux tribe leader.
Oh,
they should put him next
to
100%. Yeah, you're welcome. Yes. I'm saying vote for me.
You got my vote already, Jackie. Fucking Jackie
for president.
So I think they should put Sitting Bull up there next to all of the American leaders and then redo the informational pieces in that area and actually explain what happened there and why what happened to the Sioux tribe and although you can't necessarily blame, you know, George Washington for what happened to the Sioux tribe because it wasn't during his time, you can see all these leaders through history that have affected some type of significant change. And I think Sitting Bull deserves to be up there.
Yeah, I agree.
As far as Teddy Roosevelt, that one really hurts me because he established the national park system. I know. So I know there's mixed feelings about Teddy Roosevelt. I do, however, I am going to push back on this one because I think his statue outside of the Natural History Museum is probably exactly where it belongs. Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt, for all of his flaws, was an important American president. Mm-hmm. And he did not enslave people, and he did not inflict that kind of torture and abuse. I do think he was a product of his times for sure, but there's also not a statue of him every fucking 3 miles somewhere, like outside the Natural History Museum. So I do have an issue with the Teddy Roosevelt one.
Also, Robin Williams played him in fucking.
You know what though? That's also my opinion on something. And if someone wants to make like a truly valid claim about it and tell me why it personally hurts them, I'm open to hearing it too, because I don't have all of the experiences of the world of every person wrapped up in my head. That's my gut reaction to Teddy Roosevelt. I would be open to hearing something else that I'm not noticing.
When thousands of people say, you know, this makes us feel like shit.
Right.
It's different. Like, it's one thing. It's hard to admit that, like, you just want things to stay the same because you have some sort of emotional attachment to it or some sort of nostalgic attachment to it. Exactly. But look at Lady Antebellum and Dixie Chicks. Did they come up with the names of their groups to be on purpose insensitive? No, but guess what? People came out and said that's insensitive and it's racist, and they changed their names.
Yeah.
Yes, queens. But yes.
I feel like, so I think until it absolutely affects you just like everything else that we've been going through, like, you don't realize the insensitive nature of things until it affects you, which is sad.
Because it's, we lack empathy.
Yeah, we really do. And like, as a Pisces who is empathetic to a lot of fucking things, like, I have sensed a lot of things lately that I'm like, oh my God, like, I see these videos on like Twitter where, like, you know, the cop is pulling over the black girl and guy, and, you know, did you realize that you were breaking the law today because you weren't eating an ice cream cone on a hot day? You know, you're like, all this propaganda that happens because of XYZ, like, those things are like, my anxiety gets out of control because of that. So like, when I think about different things that happen and different monuments that existed that elicit these responses in different people, like, it's my first inclination to say, like, yes, absolutely, remove everything. And yeah, I get it, blah, 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 mass production, blah, blah. I got you. I get it. I feel you. I get it. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that happen in this world that, like, affect people differently. And do I think everything needs to be abolished? Like, as far as, like, every statue gone that creates some negative reaction in a person? No. But do I think that everything needs to be learned about and interpreted and then also, like, maybe put in a place where people can determine whether or not, like, this is a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, maybe. But it's same thing where it's, like, who determines it? Who says it's good or bad? Who da-da-da-da-da? It's that whole...
They're residents, and for overwhelmingly, they are crying out to have these things taken down.
Well, yeah, so I agree.
At that point, several years later, if the cities don't want to listen and don't want to take these statues down, they don't get to complain about them getting defaced. They're people that mass-produced statues for frickin' Confederate soldiers that did not win. And you know what?
Right.
Go back and look and see if any of these, like, the hallowed Confederate soldiers, did they get buried in Confederate uniforms? Did they? No, because they lost. So guess what? Once they lost, the Confederacy wasn't a thing anymore, and they respected that. So you can go fly your flag all you want, but people...
Even Robert E. Lee asked
asked for them not to do that. So you don't get to show up in 2020 and try to claim the Confederate flag as your own when Robert E. Lee put an end to it right after they lost the war. So read a history book as sort of, you know, swayed as it is, watch fucking Gone with the Wind. They didn't win.
Right. Right.
Yeah, spoiler alert, the Confederates lost.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks for ruining for me, guys.
If you can't bring yourself to open a book, act like Stacey said, watch fucking Gone with the Wind. There you go. There's your U.S. history on the Civil War.
Clark Kent.
Okay.
Or what's his name? Clark Gable.
Clark Gable. Ooh.
Clark Kent.
So Claudia says, some of my family members are talking about voting third party this year. I know. Believe me, I've tried to talk sense into them. Do you think this is going to be a problem this year? I'm terrified the moron is going to peel off enough votes to squeak out a win again through this avenue. What do you all think? Thanks for explaining current events in a funny and digestible way during my commute. It's weird. I talk about you to other people like you're my friends. LOL.
I love the way she phrased that. She had just such great like word choice in how she phrased it. And yes, you're right. They will fucking peel off a win. If we decide right now in the midst of a crisis, we're going to get philosophical and say, hey, wouldn't it be great to have a third party? Yes, we've been fucking saying that for the last 50 right? fucking years. We have a two-party system, and the one and only fucking thing that Democrats and Republicans agree on is that they will never allow a third party to rise to their level and take a chunk of their power. We will never have a third, and a third. And that's the tragedy of this country, because we should have Republican, Democrat, Independent, third, and third. But we will never have it because those two parties will never want to relinquish any of their hold over what's going on right now. And I learned that when I was fucking 23 years old when I voted for Ross Perot.
You old battle axe.
I know, right? I was 23 in 1992 and I voted my fucking conscience. That's a wonderful, noble thing to do. But at this point, we are in a crisis with a narcissistic, sociopathic, fucking senile lunatic who is derailing this country in a way that we've never experienced before. At this point in 2020, we can't afford the luxury of idealizing a third party. You know what? Fucking vote for Biden. Get Trump out of office, and then the next day, work on validating a third party. Don't fucking try to do it now. You can't do it now.
Right.
If you try to vote for a fucking third party, you're going to get another 4 years of Trump. That's the sad, ugly truth.
I was just going to say that, Jean. I get so fucking tired about hearing about the third parties during every presidential election year.
Right.
Like, I get it. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of Biden. Okay. I will vote for him, but I'm not a huge fan. But you know who I'm even less of a fan of? Fucking Trump.
Right. And
so every time there's an election year that comes up, people start throwing out the third party thing. And I'm sorry to say this, and you can tell your family members this, and you can tell them it's from your friend that said this. They're trying to take the fucking shortcut. They're trying not to put in the work in all of the other years. You guys, if you want third party candidates elected, get them started in your local school boards. Then move them up to congressmen. Yep. Then get them moved up to senator. And then have them run viably as a third party candidate. Or look at Bernie. He's pretty much a third party candidate, and then he picks his side during a presidential year. Everybody fucking knows he's not really a Democrat. Everybody knows he's a fucking Democratic socialist who fronts as an independent. So you guys don't get to do this whenever fucking a presidential election comes up, because they're too goddamn important. And this one by far is the most important. And I am sympathetic to wanting something different. I fucking am. I really am, because it gets tiring picking the lesser of the two evils. I get it. Everyone gets it. Right. But you can take your JoJo and you can shove it right up your yo-yo. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm real fucking tired hearing about this bitch. If she really wants to make a difference, get elected in the fucking Senate and make a difference. Get elected in the fucking House of Representatives and make a difference. Build yourself a career. Build yourself a fucking voting record. Right. Don't just come in out of left field being like, I'm a doctor, and expect everyone to fall for that shit. I'm tired of it. And if they do this again, if they do this fucking again, because the reason Hillary Clinton is not president is because these fucking third party voters, I'm going to lose my shit.
Yes.
Done.
Fuck third party voters.
Yeah. In my mind, this is one of the things that I fucking hate the most. It's this whole, I don't want to vote for this person because I don't
like. I don't want to vote for this person. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're telling me that you would rather vote for some random motherfucker than someone that's going to defeat Trump. So in my mind, why the fuck don't you just vote for Trump? Why do you waste your vote on someone else? Like, I just don't understand it. And I totally get that, like, you may not like who's coming down the pipeline next. I get that. I understand it. Believe me, I get it. I'm a goddamn fucking lesbian. I'm a woman. What? I get it. I know. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm coming out right now. I like the vagina. Also, I was a goddamn Hillary fucking Clinton supporter. And I will go down fighting for her till she is.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Preach. Preach, preach, fucking Hillary Clinton. Preach, sister.
Nothing.
All I heard was that Aaron wants to go down on Hillary Clinton.
I was going to go down. I know. I was like, oh.
You know what? Hillary Clinton would love that.
She would, because I'm good at it, motherfucker.
Now we're on lists on both sides, guys. Great.
Hell yeah. I'm just there for the pleasure for Hillary. Hey. No, but like what I'm saying is this. Like, I truly think that a lot of people that don't understand, they just don't get that, like, I understand you don't necessarily like either candidate that will win, but you have to decide, and it is the lesser of two evils. And to say that you are going to vote third party just because you don't like either one of them, you are voting for the lesser or the more of the two evils.
You're voting for Trump. Yes.
Yes, you're voting for Trump. If you don't vote for Biden, you're voting for Trump. It doesn't matter who the fuck you put your name in, you're voting for Trump. It just,
you know what?
Two times in my life, I had the pleasure of voting for a candidate I believed in. Mm-hmm. 2012, when I voted for Barack Obama, I truly believed in him and it felt good to vote for him. 2016, I truly felt good voting for Hillary. It was she was the candidate.
Right.
In 2020, I will vote for whoever will fucking get Trump out of office.
Right.
I don't care. We've discussed this on previous podcasts. Biden was my fucking fifth choice. But you know what? If he's the nominee, I will do everything in my power to vote for him and make him president, because that's how fucking horrible Donald Trump is.
And I think it says a lot about him. Is that he knows, Biden knows that he's not the number one candidate, because he doesn't even want to run for a second term if he gets it. Like, he's like, look, guys.
Also, he's a palate cleanser.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's a palate cleanser.
He is the raspberry sorbet.
I love that.
Yeah, and that's what his role is, and he gets it. And I think that it's important to sort of keep in perspective that we have the, you know, going through the primaries, we had the benefit and the sort of wondrous thing we don't have anymore, where you get to just look at who do you identify most with, whose issues are important to you. And once we get into the presidential election, you don't have that anymore. Right. Biden might not be your favorite because Biden for me is a little moderate, but I still like that guy. I don't think he's going to fuck up the country. I think he's a decent human being, and I think he's done a lot of great stuff for this country. So I can go into it thinking, was he my number one choice? No. But do I think he'll be a great president? Yeah.
Right. Because also,
the bar is low.
We all have to remember too that, like, not only so you're elected the president of the United States, yes, but then you also get to, like, put in people in your cabinet that are the best of the best, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, we know that Biden, because he's seen the fucking shit show that we've been through, is going to put in his cabinet the best of the fucking best. The fucking experts. It's not going to be Devos in fucking, what's her, DeVos, whatever the fuck.
Oh,
in
the worst.
It's not going to be ben that anymore. It's going to be people that actually understand where this country is headed or where we should be headed. Like, not just where we are headed right now. We're headed for the fucking shit show. We need to be headed for the fucking, whatever's the opposite of the shit show. The angel.
At this point, fucking Anything.
Okay. We could be headed to Florida and I'd be happier about that. Than...
You know what? At least it's hot here. I'm just saying it's goddamn hot.
It's never too late to get a Florida joke in. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something. I got the timing of a fucking champion, man. Because I got in and got out of Florida at the perfect time.
I should have went with you.
You're great at the pullout method, Gene. Everyone's proud.
Man, I will never get a woman pregnant, man. I pulled out just at the right time, and I am happy to say I am 15 days out, so my quarantine is over.
The other little tidbit, Claudia, that you could drop on your family members that are thinking about voting third party, Joe Biden has promised that he's going to give this country something that we've never had, never even close to having, and that is a woman vice president. And that, for me, puts it so far over the top. And God willing, it'll be a black woman vice president. And that'll be such...
Kamala.
Not just a great choice.
Oh, I know.
But it's going to set that person up for the potential of running for president in 4 years. And like everyone here said, Joe Biden knows he's not everyone's favorite. Like, come on. He fucking knows that. But now is not the time. We've said this on here before. Democrats eat their own because they're fucking purists. Do not be a purist. Like, we don't have the luxury of that this time around. And tell them to stop being fucking lazy. You know what? You want to get into ranked choice voting? I can get down with ranked choice voting. Like, if you really want to establish a third party system, we can do ranked choice voting. You guys, they need to work for that in the off years because I'm tired of this shit.
Right.
Let's fuck this up.
And fucking
after the
election
is over. Once the election is over, nobody gives a fuck about the third party.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They only start giving a fuck about it 6 months before the next election.
After primaries.
Right?
I just don't understand that, where people are so disgruntled with Trump, right? They just can't stand him. They hate him so much. But they're going to vote for some schmo who's not going to fucking win. Like, it just doesn't fucking make sense to me. Like, it's like... You hate this guy. You hate Trump so much. You're going to vote for someone who's not going to win against him. It's like, oh, my God. Like, I can't fucking stand whomever's going to play the Golden State Warriors, right? Like, I don't fucking like these people, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to go with them.
Listen, I think Ben Affleck is the worst Batman that has ever existed. But did I still watch Batman versus Superman? You bet your ass I did, because it's still Batman. All right. He wasn't my first choice. He wasn't even my last choice. Ben Affleck wasn't even on my fucking radar for Batman. But we had, that's what we had.
That's what
and
we
you
got.
Know what? We got a little taste of Wonder Woman out of it. So.
And you know what? Oh, yeah. I feel Batman is better than no Batman.
Yes. Yeah. Stace, do you have any opinions on third party systems?
No. I mean, I get it. Like, if you don't want to vote for either party, you have to choose the lesser of the two evils. It super sucks. I just think it's like, Biden is shitty too, so when he gets voted in, all the Republicans, I like how Stacey's head snapped up when I said he's shitty too. She's like,
not shitty.
So when all the Republicans are all jumping on our ass when he wins and saying, look what he's doing now, look how this failed, look at what, this is not working, blah blah blah, it's like, yeah, I didn't want to vote for him either, but that's the lesser of the two evils. So it's like, it's a flip-flop every fucking year, you know? Like,
the opposite party's always going to complain.
Well, look, it goes Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, Democrats, and whoever has the presidency, like, the other party is going to talk mad shit, and you have to defend them, and this is not somebody I necessarily want to defend, because I don't think he's, like, the great choice. I mean, he's fine, but he's not, like, somebody that you'd want to defend to the end. Like, Trump supporters will defend Trump to the end. They're like, he's amazing. And so for us to, like, have to defend that person, I would want somebody that I'd be like, hell yeah, we got a Democrat in. I'm going to defend this person because they're doing all these great things and they're overturning everything Trump did. But this is just a person that's kind of meh. And so it's like, well, that sucks that we don't get to be like, yeah, we got the presidency. Like, here we go. You know what I mean? But it's not great.
You know what's great about that, Stacey, is that once he's in office, at that point, you don't have to respond to anything.
Yeah.
He's there.
That's true.
He's there and Trump is gone.
Yeah.
Go on Pinterest. Go on anything. You absolutely can enjoy for the next 4 years the luxury of telling, you know, of just fucking off politics because – at the very least, Trump is gone.
Why is she quitting the podcast?
That's wait, what?
Maybe the podcast won't be political by then. Who knows?
No, you know what? It will because you know what? Because there's always going to be some dick in the GOP that's going to stir the fucking pot.
Miss McConnell.
No, fucking Amy McGrath is going to fucking eviscerate me. I'm going to be a turtle on my back fucking flailing.
What was that? What was that meme about how he looks like an upside down testicle?
That was so damn fun. No, he looked like if you put his picture upside down, he looks like a ball sack that got stuck in a zipper.
Yes. And you know what? I'm just, like I said, Amy McGrath gets $5 a month from me. Until she beats McConnell in November. That's it, man. I don't even fucking live in Kentucky. But I think dedicated $5 a month to this woman because that's how much I fucking hate McConnell.
I think all I'm saying to Claudia is I get what they're saying. It's just the lesser two evils, and you just have to do it.
Yep. Yeah.
But, I mean, also, like, devil's advocate, that's just your opinion. I don't think Joe Biden is necessarily lesser of two evils. Like,
I agree.
I think that puts him in a really unfair light of saying he's just the lesser of two evils. That's like saying you have to vote between Trump and, like, I don't know, fucking...
a turd.
Right.
But
like,
I think we would vote for the turd.
But Joe Biden is a viable presidential candidate who's dedicated his entire adult life to serving the public. So I think putting him up as just lesser of two evils against Trump isn't fair to him and the life he's dedicated to serving this country.
I'm guessing that Claudia's friends and family that are talking about doing third party feel like he's the lesser of the two evils.
Right, that I could say. Also, I just don't think representing him like that on here, I will just say, does not represent my personal opinion.
Well, but I think, too, like, for Claudia's sake, hi, Claudia. Like, I think, truly, too, like, I think when you were talking to your family members, it's not necessarily, like, explaining, yes, he, or no, he's not the lesser of two evils because of X, Y, but, like, as a presidential candidate, like I said, just, like, probably, like, 20 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, I have no concept of time right now. I'm on my third Bimini twist.
It's like, good, isn't it?
It's really good. But also, like, I think it's important to remember that part of being the president, part of being any leader, is putting the right people in charge of the right places.
Right. Like, but it's not even just that. You have someone who's qualified versus the job.
Right.
Like, qualified for the job versus someone who's a fucking joke.
No, I 100% like agree with you, Stacey.
Apples and oranges.
Yes, 100%. But I think when you say, like, okay, the lesser of two evils, fine. But, like, when you think about, like, so this leader, Trump, who is a fucking dipshit motherfucker, like, he does not understand that, like, it's not all about him. Like, as a leader, you have to understand that, like, you are not the leader because you are the best of the best. You are the leader because you put the best of the best in the right places.
Well, like, he's the leader because he tricked enough people into voting for him.
So, like, in my mind, like, it's like, okay, so you want to vote third party because of XYZ. But when you look at Biden, like, he has consistently relied on people that make him look better.
He's
like,
he's not an evil. Exactly. I guess that's the point he's that gets not, me.
Yeah, like, he's not the lesser of two evils. He may be not the greatest. Yeah, he's not the greatest presidential candidate that ever existed, but he's certainly not evil.
He is.
But he's certainly not evil.
Right. That's right. What I'm like, saying. But yeah, for some like, people, he is their number one choice.
Right, right. And, like, mm-hmm. at this point, he's my fucking number one. I'll vote for him. I will fucking make everybody in line vote for him. I'll go up to people. I'll fight them.
I think
that sounded so wrong coming out of your mouth. Fight them.
Yeah, right? You're like, yeah, okay.
Not Pisces. A lot of conviction there.
Sit down. Sit down, Pisces.
All right. What's everyone obsessed with this week? Stacey, go first. Let's hear about Hamilton.
I'm so excited. I can't even wait. Guys, I just want to, let's take a stroll back several years when I was the only person who knew about Hamilton out here. Literally the only person when it wasn't even on Broadway yet. The night that the freaking soundtrack came out on iTunes, I had it pre-ordered. I downloaded it. I read all of the lyrics on Rap Genius. And Lin-Manuel Miranda went in there. He added his own annotations. I have been stanning Hamilton since its infancy. And I can't even wait. I've seen it three times, four times, some number of times. And I cannot even wait for it to be on Disney Plus. I am so glad that all they edited out was two fucks.
Gene, they found your fucks. They edited them out.
They did.
What? You can't do that.
They have to make it PG-13. So we lost two fucks. They literally gave two fucks to put this on Disney Plus, which I think is kind of awesome. I'm so curious to see which fucks they are, though, because there's some ones I hope they kept.
I feel like Lin-Manuel explained it on Twitter.
Did he say which one they kept?
I feel like he explained it. I'll send you the tweet.
Okay, because I saw him, but I don't think that really, like, I don't know. I was convinced. I wanted to be the
Senator. She wants a deeper dive.
Republican. I can't even. So tomorrow, literally the plan is I have to take Piper to the vet in the morning to get her legs looked at, and then I'm going to come home, and I'm going to day drink, I'm going to watch Hamilton all day long.
Yeah, girl. My favorite part of this podcast so far is seeing the excitement on Stacey's face.
I'm going to put my Hamilton shirt on. I don't even know which one. I have several. It is the most important piece of art that's been created in this country in, like, for sure the last decade, maybe the last 50 years. I can't even speak highly enough about it. And to get to watch, like, a pro shot directed version by all of the original creative team, you know, is the one who directed and edited this version of it. It's almost all of the original cast minus
have you seen
Betsy Stuxnet. No.
Oh, there you go.
No. No, because I didn't have an extra, like, $4,000 to spend on
tickets
to go see it on Broadway. But I just can't. Like, I am overcome with emotion about it.
I'm so excited.
How long is it before I, like, commit to this with my children?
Like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
That's a normal show.
So fast. Why did I feel like you had seen it already?
I've seen the play.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same exact thing. It's just a pro shot version.
Oh, I feel like the play was only, like, barely over 2 hours.
See, that's why it doesn't
feel go so
long.
Fast.
Did you see how excited? Did you see how excited Dempsey got? See?
No, it's long. It's because it's so good. There's no lag time. I don't care. I'm the biggest nerd. I love it so much. I just can't. There's so many. You think you can nerd deep dive on some stuff? Man. There are some lines in there. They're ties to history. They're ties to hip-hop culture. And I can't.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is a goddamn genius.
He is a goddamn genius. That's why he got a MacArthur Genius Grant. He's just the best. I love him so much. And art has been forever changed because of him.
I'm looking forward to watching it.
Me too.
Stacey, what are you obsessed with?
I think we're watching it, like, Sunday night. I don't know. My kids are like, we're going to watch it, right? Yeah, we're going to watch it. And I'm like, yes, we will watch it. So I've set aside some time. I'm obsessed with, I guess, I'm not obsessed with eating this week. My husband's gone all week. I'm trying to, like, make do and find stuff to do and whatever. But I'm really disappointed that we're going back into lockdown in California. And I've canceled all my plans with all my friends. And some of my I'm going to say, are being childish about me not going me. Back into nope, not you. I know you were supposed to come over tomorrow and you're, I mean, we agreed on it ahead of time.
Yeah. It's a smart decision.
Are acting like it's a little, I don't know,
like overreacting.
Yeah, overreacting, and I think it's stupid. But also, have you guys seen the article about people in Alabama, teenagers having coke use? Okay, like, how fucked up is this?
God, good Lord.
They pick however many people they want to invite that are COVID positive, and then everybody that attends the party has to pay an amount of money, $5, $20, $50 to attend the party, and whoever gets the test result that they're positive first gets the pot of money.
Well, let me tell you right now, it's like the Tide Pod
challenge, but
if they were in Florida, no one would get the fucking result because you have to wait 7 to 10 days to get a goddamn result here.
That money would be gone by then.
You could be fucking dead from COVID before you get your positive
fucking
diagnosis.
Before you get a result in Florida, you could die. You know, you might as well just go throw yourself into a fucking swamp and get eaten about by an
app. A meth gator. A meth
fucking meth gator.
Yeah, so I'm real disappointed about going back into lockdown, about how people are treating it, how people are being so nonchalant about it and lackadaisy, and that fucking sucks. So
fuck those people.
Shane, how about you?
I'm obsessed on a negative side. I'm obsessed.
I thought she was gonna say Taylor Swift. I had this
Wait, you fucking you didn't fuck off. You're not listening to me.
This is a two-parter.
Two-parter.
Now it's a two-parter.
Just fucking listen. I'm obsessed in a negative way that I canceled my plane ticket to California to see all of my podcasts. Ladies, to meet the two Stacey,
Jane, hang on.
Jane, you sound
vacation. Get to
Jane! Hey, you got to start over. All we heard was, I'm so disappointed I don't get to go to California and meet my podcast. You sound like Dory imitating a whale.
Oh, shit. Wait, you know what? Like, I'm getting it's saying poor connection over my computer.
You know what? You need to turn. Wait. Gene, listen to me.
What?
Turn the Wi-Fi off on your phone. Pull down on your phone.
I did it. I know how to do that. I did it. All right. Where do you want me to pick up from?
You're disappointed about not getting to come see your podcast friends.
Okay. I am so disappointed not getting to see my podcast ladies, meeting the two Stacys that I have spoken with. Had the pleasure of speaking with almost every week for the last year. We had such a frickin' lit week planned. And then you guys out in California had to fuck it all up with your...
Not us.
COVID.
I think it's also right? Florida.
And so, well, yeah. I mean, all of you are fuckers. On the plus side, I watched... the Taylor Swift Mrs. Americana, and I fell in love with her.
Welcome.
Later tonight, we will be going down the rabbit hole.
I never, ever thought it would be possible, but after watching that documentary, I was just won over.
First of all, how dare you?
The
audacity.
How dare I what?
How could I mean,
you know, she's like the same age as my niece, so there's a little slight generation gap there. So it took a little extra oomph for me to get into her. I'm sorry.
Colin Taylor thought that about Sarah Paulson.
Taylor even know who Sarah Paulson is from one day to the next?
Yes. She eats her vagina.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
It's a joke, for God's sake. Ew. Don Rickles used to be able to get away with this shit all the time.
You know what? It's 2020, Gene. We're getting rid of the
And none of you even fucking know who Don Rickles is.
I know who Don Rickles is.
I do not know who Don Rickles is.
Get out. You do.
Come on now.
You're going to fucking Google it after
the death. I'm the only one who ever knows your old movie references.
Right, MC, you know old shit. That's right.
I still feel like I'm talking to a wolf.
Aaron, you do not know who Don Rickles is.
Yes, I fucking do.
It's called active ignoring.
Oh. I'm glad there's a fucking term for it. Jesus Christ. I thought maybe it was just me. No.
You know when you trick little kids into thinking they're invisible? That's.
I was just going to say, where'd Aaron go?
I forgot. Dempsey knows like Cary Grant movies, so yeah. She would fucking know who Rickles is. Yeah absolutely.
You both.
Where'd Aaron go?
You know what?
I don't know. I can't see her. Is she there?
Aaron thinks because Aaron? She knows the Big Chill and 9 to 5 that she understands classic cinema.
Aww. I'm with you, Aaron.
I can't.
The Grease 2 movie is classic, too.
Aaron, you know I love you. Fuck you off. You know I love you. Shut up. I do love you to death.
I love you.
Thank you. You and me, Grease 2.
What is happening right
Look
now?
Look, we were all supposed to cuddle next week, and well, that we was all been there. Shot to hell thanks to the COVID.
The COVID.
I'm still processing that, if you don't mind. I'm still processing.
I want to give some feedback.
Puddle got canceled.
I'd like to offer you some feedback.
Are you ready for the feedback?
One.
Feedback.
I don't know how you could think that I would have such a fangirl thing for someone who wasn't super intelligent, strong, motivated, runs her own company, like as of the age of 18.
We're back to Taylor.
Yeah, like I can't believe you didn't buy into Taylor sooner.
I mean, loves us,
Jackie. No, Jackie. You know what? I try not to be a purist. So if Taylor, I used to think if Taylor Swift was your guilty pleasure, you're allowed to have that.
Guilty.
But after watching her documentary, it is absolutely fully founded.
Okay.
She is amazing. And
national treasure.
I feel validated in her.
She comes off as very preppy and very like goody goody. And this generation is like, meh, she's too pure, whatever, like write her off. It's whatever. But like your sister posted on Facebook like 3 years ago and it stuck with me. She said, "You will always love somebody if you hear their story." And that's so true because biography that I sure watch, I feel like I have a connection with that person and I end up liking them. So I feel like that's what happened with Taylor because I was like, oh, Taylor Swift, she's fine. But then I watched like the like where she went silent for like a year. She like actually had some real struggles and you're like, no shit, she's actually not super pure and goody goody and whatever. And you're like, oh, she's a real human. I like her now.
You know what I really loved about it? And this is going to sound
like
I'm...
this is turning into Taylor Swift. I love right. this.
I mean, I can do this for another.
Everyone, Jackie. Take another lap around the parking lot. We're going to do this for a while.
Yes. So here's what I really loved is that, so I've always struggled with my weight. Like ever since I was probably 10 or 11 years old, I've always been in the competition with girls to be like, the thinnest, da, 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 da. And I've never been the thinnest, ever. And so then I went through high school, and I was always, like, the big size. And, you know, like, I obviously worked my hardest to be, like, muscular and the best of the best on the volleyball court and the basketball court and showing, like, throwing shot and discus and all those things. Like, I really, really tried really hard. But then when I stopped doing all that shit, like, you still eat the same way that you did when you were in high school, but you're not doing any of that. So I gained weight and I became like a little bit heavier than I ever wanted to be. And so then I hear Taylor Swift, who is fucking perfect, you know? And she talks about how she struggled with her weight and how she was borderline anorexic and she had these issues and she always wanted to be perfect and she had every fucking person in America and in the world criticizing her weight and how she looked and her body type. And I'm like, oh my God. So here I am, Little Miss Nothing, being like comparing myself to Taylor Swift. And I'm just like, I'm 40 years old. And here's this wonderful, beautiful woman who has done so much for so many different people in the world, struggling and trying so hard to maintain this image. And it was just shocking to me. And in that moment, when I heard her talking about her weight struggles, I fell in love. Like, I had been in lust because I liked her a lot. And then Jackie was like, you need to love her. And I was like, I don't know if I can. And she was like, you can. And then I and I fell in love. It is so like encouraging for someone who struggles with weight and weight gain to hear someone so beautiful talk about her weight and how she struggled with it. And I'm just saying, like, I fell in love, and I do not. Anytime Jackie's like, listen to this about Taylor Swift, I'm like, okay. I won't listen to anything you say about her.
What got me in that movie, in that documentary, because I have been an avid Taylor Swift fan since her first album when she was 16 years old, and I was 25, like, avid.
Ew. So,
I don't, God, relax. I wasn't trying to sleep with her. But
I didn't know you.
What struck me in that documentary that I didn't know about her before was the turmoil she felt over speaking her opinion and how many people have to weigh in on what she gets to tell. I mean, we get on here and we say
whatever the fuck we want,
whatever pops into our head. Mm. And even though I'd always looked at her as someone that, you know, took over her own career at such a young age, wrote her own music, like, I always looked at her as being like such a self-assured, driven, ambitious, smart female. And all of those things are true. And they've always been true. But I was surprised to see that even though Taylor Swift is the music industry, as Rolling Stone has said, she still has to face the same type of misogyny that the rest of us have to face. And that, to me, that was the only part of the entire documentary where I kind of teared up, because I felt so bad for her in that moment. And I'm not saying like, oh, feel bad for Taylor Swift. She has 14 mansions and millions of dollars and blah, blah. I meant that she struggles with the exact same things that women everywhere struggle with, except she's under a microscope constantly for it. Like, when her managers and her father sat there and said, you're going to lose half your fan base.
Right.
And she said, I don't care. I don't care. That to me was... What was reaffirming to me in that moment was she's exactly who I hoped she'd always was. And that was just a deal breaker for me. Like, it sealed the, you will never change my mind about Taylor Swift. Like, that was just, no matter what anyone says or what dirt you dig up on her, she's exactly who she comes out and says she is all of the time. So that was my favorite part of the whole documentary.
Here's something that I find really interesting. So
take another lap around the parking lot.
Yes, yes. Because, like, in this moment, yes, I'm still, like, fangirling over Taylor Swift, but I'm also fangirling over Jackie. So, like, I don't need to kiss her ass. We're already friends. Like, she's not going to disown me because
Pisces, that's just how you are.
Right. Like, yeah, we're, like, Pisces band together. But, like, one of the things that I love about Jackie is she was, like, you just need to give Taylor a chance. You just, like, and literally referred to her in first person like that, like, Taylor. Like, she's best friends with her. And I was like, oh, yes, you and Taylor are on first name basis. Yes, we are, motherfucker. I was like, okay. But, like, also, like, I think one of the things that I loved about
how she just zapped me out of nowhere.
I did. But also, out of pure love, and I love you. Like, it was almost like this whole thing, like, Taylor has this way of, like, getting inside of you that you don't expect. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Like,
ooh, that's
you're fucking high. And I'm like, okay. But then I started listening to her music more. When Lover came out, I listened to Lover, like, non-fucking stop. And then when Miss Americana came out, I was like, oh my God, I am 100% in love with Taylor Swift. And yes, it has a lot to do with Taylor because she is, I feel like she is what America is missing in a lot of women. It is the ability to stand up for what you believe in when everyone else isn't. And that is what Taylor is to me. Like, she is not, yes, she is an amazing performer. Yes, she is an amazing lyricist. And she knows how to write music. God, she knows how to write
She's
music.
The Bob Dylan of our generation.
She really is. Like, she is so many things that, like, so many artists try to be but cannot. But then she is also this person that stands up for what is right and what is perfect for our world. And when I first started listening to Taylor, like, years ago, I was like, she's okay. I really like this song, you know. Let's go into the, what is the one, the Into the Wilderness, the Wild, into, you know.
Out of the Woods.
Out of the woods.
Do you want me to sing it for you? I will right now.
I love that song.
That's one of my very favorite songs. And I'm like, I don't remember the words right now. I'm four bulimic twists in. But my whole thing is with this is that Taylor Swift has this way of, like, bringing out the very best of people. And I think that at the end of the day, what makes the most out of her music is that she speaks to people not about their political beliefs or about, like, who they want to rule the world or who they believe in as, like, a higher power, like God or, you know, Buddha, or as a Hindu, what God you believe in. It is, you need to believe in yourself as a human being, as a woman. And I'm going to be real honest with you. Jackie brought that to light for me. And Jackie, I love you forever for that.
Spread the word of.
Wow.
Well, how about in the documentary when she's standing in front of the guys who make Queer Eye, and she was like, tell me how I can use my voice to help you.
Right.
Tell me what I can do
That's when I fell in love. That was the moment. How can I use my influence to make a difference? Mm-hmm. And just one quick comment. I'm really, really sorry that I missed the conversation. One quick comment. I'm really, really sorry I missed the conversation where Jackie says, you need to love her. And Aaron says, I don't know if I can.
We can have it off camera, to be honest.
That is not what happened. She was like, do you guys want to go down a rabbit hole? And Aaron was like, okay.
Aaron put on her backpack. Aaron put on her backpack and jumped.
What's those flickers?
What she's obsessed with, I have to say, Aaron, number one, you're not Little Miss Nothing. And number two, you say that you've never been the thinnest. You're the thinnest on the podcast. So go you. You got it. Okay, Jax, what are you obsessed with?
But what are those things you put on, like a jumper? Like it's like a, when you're going to go like fly fishing, you put on those like waders. That's what I put on when Jackie was like, you want to go down a rabbit hole? I'm like, yes. Waders on. I got my fishing pole. I'm ready to go swimming.
I'm obsessed with my mom this week. My mom has come such a long way politically. Like, this was a woman who my entire life is the first one in any group conversation to be like, I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to hear you guys talk about politics. Like, I don't want any part of it. And, she has changed into this person that, and I'm going to preface this by saying my mom is one of the smartest people that I know. Like, she is very smart. She just, she was raised in a generation where you don't discuss politics, you don't discuss religion. Like, those are just the ways that she was raised. And when I was talking to her the other day, first of all, Jean, she told me last night that she's there with you with Jean. She's like, I'm with Jean. Andrew Cuomo is the hottest man that I have ever seen in my life. Like, she's obsessed with him, and I think it's adorable. But she said something.
Yes,
and
Donna, yes.
She said that there's this man that she finds very attractive, and he's very nice, and she really likes him, and they get along really well. But he's a hardcore Trump supporter. And she said, I could never even give him a chance because it has gotten to this point in this country that it's not just about politics, it's morality. And I couldn't be with someone that would actively support anyone who worked against my daughters. And my mom has never, and I'm not saying my mom has never supported us. My mom has always supported my sister and I, full stop. Like that is for sure. But she's never viewed politics in this way. And I'm really proud of her because she's about to be 63. Like that's a big deal to just kind of come full circle and be like, no, I won't even entertain the idea of anyone having any type of negative impact politically. And now she's getting more outspoken in her group conversations. And when she talks to her friends and she's, you know, paying more attention to politics and she's forming an opinion. And I do think a lot of it has to do with the fact that she was married to a total fucking idiot that didn't let her have an opinion for a long time. Or I shouldn't say let her have an opinion, but barked at her every time she voiced an opinion that was different than her own. But I'm just, it's nice to see a person, especially a woman, get to the point where they feel like, no, I have something valid to say and I have an opinion and I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable. I'm going to say it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud of her. And that's aww. What I'm yay, obsessed with.
Can I say something? Like I know your mom from one meeting, right? Like I'm over here like in tears because I thought your mom was like fucking amazing the first time I met her. Like I was like enamored with Donna. Like Donna was like my fucking
all right, don't blow up her ego.
Donna, I fucking love you, but like it makes me so happy because like none of her affections ever felt forced. Like she was always like, Aaron, I love you, Gene, I love you. Like she was always very like welcoming with Gene and myself when she was with us at GCLS. So like in my mind, like, I don't know if it's just me as a Pisces, but I'm always like, people don't like me. They just like to be nice, right? Like, they don't like me. But your mom was always so very much like, you are one of my own. Like,
let I would take me a tell you from experience, she does not say that to everybody.
Right? Like,
she
so, not. Like, I feel like Donna was very
I don't get that.
Well, like, but I just feel like Donna was very, very, like, welcoming with Gene and myself. Like, you are part of my clan. And, like, you love Jackie, so I love you. And it made me just feel so much, so very much more like comfortable with who I am as a person. And I'm going to be honest, like Donna was one of the best like moms, quote unquote moms that I've ever met in my whole life. Like I love meeting moms. I'm a total lover of MILFs.
What? What a surprise.
Donna is my favorite MILF. Like I love
Donna.
Her. Like,
Donna
she makes me so happy.
Was a shit ton of fun.
Yeah. Right, like she was just so fun. That one night when we got you fucking trashed, Jackie, like you were fucking wasted. You were like,
we loved that.
I love man. Drunk Jackie. Drunk Jackie's my fucking favorite, and she's like,
my mom's in a much better place now since her divorce. Like,
well, let's be real. Are you trying to tell me that so you say that she won't like me now that she's in a better place?
No. I'm saying you got to meet her after she was free from her ex, and she's in a much better place now. Like,
good for her.
She's
good
calmer.
For Donna.
She's happier. She's
I love it.
More open. She's
that's
she's
good.
Who I remember her being prior to being married to Robert. That's who she
that's
is going
good.
Back to being now.
She
so.
Just washed that man right out of her hair.
Oh, he's the fucking worst. I'll tell you guys about it after we stop.
Listen to me, sure like when I say that Donna is one of the best people I've met in a very long time. She was amazing. I love Donna.
Well, she raised me. How bad could she be?
Right?
Wow. She did something right, man. She
you
did
and Julie.
Something right.
All right. Well, I think that's it for us this week, guys. Sorry we kept you rolling around a parking lot. But
no, you're welcome.
I feel like if
you're
you really
welcome.
Like it, don't be sad about it.
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Happy Independence
Day.
Don't
go out and do dumb shit. Celebrate your independence by staying home. 6 feet
yes.
apart and wash your hands.
Stay home, wear black.
Wash your mask,
get in your pool.
Unless you're with Gene up in Connecticut, and then do whatever the fuck you want because you guys got it on lockout there.
You're in Florida with me, just get in my pool.
CT
and DC should be a state. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
just